There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Okay, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. And by the way, promo just ran for Ask the Sheriff. That comes up tomorrow, second Tuesday of every month. So Mobile County Sheriff Paul Bartsch is going to join us tomorrow, leadoff batter noon, right here on Midday Mobile. All right, without any further ado, it is their week. Like I said when I started the show, we're already in their week. I was looking at pictures that were texted to me and some stuff on Facebook from friends of mine that were hauling kids for the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament this last weekend. It was pretty darn good showing. It looked like some great fish caught and a lot of fun had. And that is just the start to Rodeo Week. To speak of that, it's our friend Cody Ward, president of publicity for the 93rd Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, joining us now. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being on, Cody.
Hi there. Thank you for having me, Sean.
All right. So, yeah, give me your recap from, I mean, because I've seen the pictures of fishing, and some of my friends' kids won, won like second place, and they pretty good. But from back on the land, how'd it go on y'all's side?
We had a great event. It was a great turnout. Very happy kids. You know, we had slides and other things on site. They came by. They got their hot dogs, their ice cream. Everything was just a wonderful weekend.
Yeah,
that's great turnout.
That's the thing y'all do, and we'll get to the grown-up side of it, even though kids fish in the big rodeo. But you've got the fishing, and then y'all had, like, ice cream and slides. I mean, you're catering to us. You're giving us stuff to do while we're there.
That's right. We're trying our best. We're trying to make sure that everybody gets a good experience with our event. It's not just anglers. We have stuff for spectators and anybody who's in the area.
Okay. It is, although I will point out the JCs work on this year-round. I think they take, like, 5 days off between one rodeo and planning for the next. But this is the big week here. Talk about what's happening with y'all.
Well, this is it. Of course, as you said, this is our 93rd Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, 93 years strong. And we're going to kick it all off on Thursday afternoon with the Captain T-Bone Flyers Contest presented by Columbia PFG. And they've decked us out in some nice outfits this year. Y'all have to come out and see what all they got us dressed up in. They have us shirts every day of the week.
Do they really?
So they did. Every day we're open. So that was a big deal this year, and we're really thankful for them and glad that they stepped up and helped us with that.
Go ahead.
You go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I'm glad y'all have shirts each day because y'all, they're sweating, and then they're sweating like a JC.
That's right. That is correct. It is a totally different thing.
As y'all keep the hustle up. All right, so Thursday night, Lions Contest gets things started. And then, of course, Cannon Shot the next morning. It's the world, if y'all didn't know, Guinness World Book of Records confirmed it. The world's largest multi-day saltwater fishing tournament goes on right here at home. Let's talk about what... we'll get back to the fishing in a second, but you got fishing, but like just for the kids, you've got entertainment for the big kids too. So what's happening at Liars Contest? Then you got music coming up throughout the weekend.
That's right. So we got our Liars Contest. Like I said, that starts at 6 p.m. If you want to be part of the Liars Contest, buy you an open ticket and come see me around 5 p.m. I'll be taking contestants for that. We also have Bruce Smelly playing later that night after the Liars Contest. Then coming the days of the tournament, we have a lot of activation teams coming out this year. Our Xfinity partners, our Buffalo Rock Pepsi partners, our Capital Tractor partners, and our our Mossy Oak partners all have big activation teams that will be on site this weekend, and they will be giving out other prizes and other giveaways, and there's all kinds of stuff they're going to have prepared for everyone to do. Then, of course, we have our bands coming Friday, of course, is Mustache Band. That's a big one. Everybody's excited about that one.
Yeah, I mean, 90s country. If you love 90s country, this is going to be your band.
That's right. And our president, it's funny, his wife wanted 90s country, so he made sure it happened for her this year.
That's what happens.
That's what we're doing both nights.
That's what happens when you're the president. Right, that's what happens.
That's right.
Quick question here, Cody. They're saying when do this year's T-shirts go on sale?
So our T-shirts have already been on sale. Of course, we started selling at the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament, and we have already started selling out of a few things. We're trying to get some restock, but we'll be making posts and announcements on our Facebook page all week. But we will pick up selling shirts on our site on Thursday at 12 p.m.
Okay. Thursday at 12 p.m. So, in other words, y'all coming down, if you want a chance to get a T-shirt before Friday and everybody's there, I mean, you come out to the Liars Contest, you can get T-shirts.
That's right. You come out early, make sure you can come out before the Liars Contest. Like I mentioned, we're going to go ahead and open up at 12. We'll be selling T-shirts and tickets on site that day, starting at 12 o'clock.
All right, very good. And reminder for folks, too, yeah, let's talk about tickets. When do they have to have their ticket by?
Tickets must be purchased before our cannon blast on Friday. So make sure you have your tickets and make sure you're ready to go. We'll be here all night Thursday.
Yeah, and that's, you know, if you want to do that and buy them on site, you can do that Thursday. What about somebody who's not going to be there but wants to fish? What about places to buy the tickets, and what about doing it online?
You can buy your tickets online at adsfr.com. We have our local ticket outlets, Academy Sports and Outdoors, Pronto Pond, J&M Tackle, Tackle This, and Greer's Markets. Any of those, please go out and support our local markets and help them out while you're there.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Get those tickets. Be ready for the rodeo. And what do you, like you personally, what do you look forward to the most, other than throwing the president in the water and closing things out? But, I mean, what do you look forward to most during the rodeo?
As I tell everybody, man, I just love seeing the kids. You know, the Roy Martin is a big one for me. I love seeing the kids come in with a big smile. It doesn't matter if they have a small fish or a big fish. And then that doesn't end. You know, we have kids that fish the big tournament. We get to see them all over again next weekend. And they just enjoy it. Not only them, it's everybody. I mean, the anglers, everybody. They really enjoy it. It doesn't matter if we're dealing with 10-foot seas. They come in, they're happy, and they've had a good day fishing.
Yeah, I haven't even, you know, because it's bad luck, I have not even looked at the Windfinder app for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I'm feeling good. I think it's going to be good.
I hope so. Everything, as you know, we're 93 years strong, so we're going to keep it rolling either way.
Cody, good stuff, man. I will be seeing y'all. If not before, I will for sure see you Thursday for the Liars Contest.
Absolutely, and make sure that if you fish tournament, you come out and you see us at the QCS Marine Electronics Award Ceremony. That's on Monday, July the 20th at 6 p.m. at the fairgrounds in Mobile.
Yeah, do we need, I mean, you know what? I mean, I've said it so many times, I think everybody knows, but I do want to point out, y'all, why you stick around to the end. Here's why, this the genius, the JC's got this figured out. Because if you weigh in a legal fish in the rodeo, y'all, you can still, even if you don't win a category or whatever, you're still in for the grand prize drawing. And what is it this year?
It's a 26 Bay contender boat.
Yeah, that'll work for me. Yeah, put me down as a yes for that one if you would.
And we want to thank Contender and Yamaha for those packages and always treating us and taking care of us.
I do for sure. Cody, I appreciate it, man. We'll see you soon.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, there you go. Rodeo this weekend, which, by the way, what we'll talk about when we get back. But got two shows. Two shows. We'll be down there starting Thursday, so hopefully you get a chance to come by and see us. We'll give you details when we return. Yeah.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Good time for me to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars as we get a week started. Let's talk about what's happening at the shop.
Well, we got a little drizzle rain right now, but we got some good inventory. We had a truckload come in Friday afternoon. We've got some other stuff we're looking at right now as we speak, trying to get bought. So I know we say this, it's like a broken record. We've got a great selection of cars out here, vehicles, trucks, anything you're looking for.
Okay. And if they say, well, it's raining right now, and I'm just, well, you can look at a lot of this, except for the stuff that gets there like today, you can look at this on the website.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything's on the website. And even if you go on the website and it doesn't have a picture of it, let me know. We can send you some pictures from the condition reports that we have in our system. We're fixing to change our website up again a little bit, just adding to it, not changing much. It's just going to be add to some new pictures. Got a new photo booth that we're doing. We're going to use for all the cars, so it should be really neat.
All right. Well, tell them how to find you in person. They got the website. Now, how do they find you, in the flesh?
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation, 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Or you can just give us a call at 251-375-0068.
Thanks, David.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
You too. There goes Admiral McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Let's see to the text line here. I want to get other questions about the rodeo. Yeah, the T-shirt thing, they go back on sale. I don't know. I guess I saw over the weekend this T-shirt saying if they have any more of the shirts they sold out of. They said they're trying to get restocked. I don't know if that's the specific ones. I did see that over the weekend. Let's see. Bob said, can you imagine if the kids had the Liars Contest event on the biggest fish they caught? Boy, I bet they could make up some stories. You know, the winner, Bob, sometimes of the Captain T-Bone Liars Contest has been a kid. There's, I think about one girl, one young lady who, I forget, she was super funny, too. But it's always fun. I get to see folks. Usually, I see about once a year some folks at the rodeo. But, yeah, I'll be out there again judging the Liars Contest. So here's the schedule. So for us, for FM Talk, I'll get there. I'll be there on Thursday for that. And then, again, noon to 2 on Friday, doing Midday Mobile from the rodeo site. And then from 11 to noon on Saturday, a special on-location FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. So we'll be there. And I'll be in and out around the rest of the time. I fish during the rodeo. I fish and then I do shows. So, but hopefully get to see y'all down there. We'll bring some FM Talk 106.5 logoed items with us and give you a chance to pick some of those up. All right. Tell you what, before we go back to the text, let's go to the phones. And Fire Dog is up next. Hey, Fire Dog.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good, man. Good to hear your voice. Read your text a bunch. You want to talk about Lindsey Graham?
Yeah. So you can disagree with the guy on politics, which I did a lot, and you do too. I kind of felt that during the George Bush era, Lindsey was very supportive of the whole nation building Iraq and Afghanistan. Iraq seems to have been okay, but you always knew that Afghanistan, no matter when we pulled out of there, it was just going to never be a Jeffersonian democracy.
Understatement,
no
yes.
No matter what you did. And we stayed there for far, far, far too long. And I was over there several times. It was just, that's just not how they thought. And they weren't interested in it. And, there were a lot of nice people, my translator over there, which, I had previously discussed. I spent a mm-hmm. lot of money trying to find afterwards. Again, we still don't know if that guy is.
You don't? You
I
didn't?
I kind of just gave up. And,
really? Yeah, so you have not heard? You've not heard?
Almost. No, we spent almost $6,000 trying to find the guy. And of personal money with a group that was trying to get some of those guys out of there. And he just disappeared. So I'm hoping he just went out in the hills somewhere and he's living his own good life. But anyway, one of the things I use is Joe Lieberman. I actually had some interactions with him when I was in D.C. in the Pentagon.
The independent Joe Lieberman,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Did not agree with 95% of his politics because, he was a Democrat. He was very supportive of the military, though, but he was very, very nice. We sent some letters back and forth to each other after I met him several times. He was a class act.
There's,
I didn't agree with him, but he was a class act.
Yeah, I've said that before. If there's if I think that people are rooted in their beliefs, like I use the Bernie Sanders analogy, I would absolutely do a sit-down interview anytime with Bernie Sanders. I'd go to lunch and have a beer with Bernie Sanders because I disagree with him 90% of the time, but he is pretty decent on the Second Amendment. But I believe he's coming at it. You can say, he's making money here. I think he truly believes what he says. I wouldn't walk across the street for Hillary Clinton, but I would go for a sit-down lunch or an interview with somebody that, like Sanders, I disagree with, but I think we could have actual debate because he has beliefs that aren't bought. That's just what he truly believes.
Now, one of the things that I think Trump needs to do for Lindsey Graham is have a 21-bomb salute, or maybe 21 cruise missile salute to Iran. Announce it. Say we're going to bomb these 21 sites in honor of Lindsey Graham. He's in the Air Force.
Yeah, he was.
The Air Force guys to do it. Right for Lindsey on the bomb is before they...
Okay, but you're a military man like you that did what you did. How do we get off the Ferris wheel here of Iran? I mean, to leave them now, I mean, to think that they're going to go, oh, well, we learned our lesson. We won't keep doing the same stuff we were doing before. That's not right. Or do you go, God forbid, occupy the country in a place that everybody would shoot at you? I mean, how do you land this plane?
So I think there's two different things that we have to look at here. Is one, you have the what's left of the political elites there in Iran. You know, I mean, we've basically blown up Mohammed, his other brother Mohammed, and you're down to Bill. When you're down to Bill, you're in trouble. So then you've got the IRGC, what's left of their command, because you've killed most of them. So I think you've got a lot of these rogue elements that are just sitting out in the desert saying, no surrender ever, we're just going to launch cruise missiles until we run it. We're going to lob missiles, shoot RPGs, fire off our AKs, whatever they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you're never going to convince those guys because the leadership is dead.
Right.
You can use a good World War II example. Admiral Dönitz surrendered Nazi Germany in World War II, and there were a lot of units out there that did not believe Hitler was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept right on fighting for months afterwards because they didn't believe the Führer was gone. So I think, you know, you've got that problem where you've got these rogue IRGCs. You can do like Trump's doing now and just keep bombing until they're, I mean, I don't know how you're going to find five guys in the desert with a warning. It's possible, but again, you waste a lot of time and resources to try to find these guys. So you can, I think you can probably negotiate with political leadership that's left because they want this to be done with so that they can turn around in 20 or 30 years from now, restart their nuclear ambitions and pull one over on the West again. And then I think you have these diehard IRGC guys that, like I said, they're out there with their drones and their missiles and they're just going to do what they're going to do. So how do you rectify that? I mean, ground forces, please.
Yeah, I mean, that's what scares me.
And I don't think Trump's going to go for that. I really don't. But I don't know what you do for that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think you just got to separate these two things. You've got the guys who are just going to shoot, and you've got the guys that are just want it to be over. The only other thing I think you could do maybe would be to start destroying civilian infrastructure like power plants from back in the dark.
Do want you know, put a you hit the power plants? What I mean,
hit those power plants.
What we talked about,
no power.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can't make bombs, you can't make guns, you can't do anything. I don't think you're going to see the civilians try to overthrow the leadership at this point. I think they learned that the last time they tried, 40,000 of them were dead, and I think that was probably the majority of the. We want
yeah, resistance.
Something else.
Yeah, I think they're.
Yeah,
I think they're dead.
In Tehran.
Yeah,
and,
I think they're
and,
dead.
You know, in Iran, there's Tehran and there's everywhere else. I mean,
true.
You don't. So, where do you get that resistance faction from?
I don't know. I don't know if they're even in left. Good point. We're on the hard break, but it's always Fire Dog. I enjoy our conversations. Enjoy that you're part of this radio station and your service to our country, man. Thank you. Coming right back, we'll get more calls and texts. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, a big congratulations to Buddy Garrett as well. The first weekly qualifier in our America's 250 showcase here at FM Talk 106.5. So week two, I guess we'll call it this way. Week two is now open for your pictures. So you go to facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 and you'll see it pinned up top of the stack. That's where you put your picture in. Buddy had a picture from the White House with Blue Angels and Thunderbirds flying in Super Delta formation. You could put your patriotic photo up. And like I said at the beginning, the reason we didn't say, well, it's got to have this, that, and the other. It doesn't. It has to. What is a patriotic photo to you? You put it up. And then the one that gets the most votes each week wins. So in other words, you put your photo up and then let all your friends know, say, hey, go over to the Facebook page for FM Talk 106.5 and give it the most number of likes. The one that gets the most likes wins each week. And that puts you in the running for the grand prize. So, and first of all, your weekly prize. So for Buddy and everybody else who wins a weekly prize, you get the American-made flag kit. So you get American-made flag and mounting kit. And this is puts you in the running. And then you're in for the grand prize. It's almost $5,000 grand prize to be awarded at the end of August. So get your pictures in. And then remember, too, another way to get qualified and win is to stop by our participating sponsors, American Legacy, where the flags are coming from, J&M Tackle, Gray's Craze Charcuterie Boards and Boxes, Cart Doctor, Piggly Wiggly, G&D Farm Feed and Outdoors. All those places have boxes in them when you walk in. You'll see it says FM Talk 106.5, America 250 Showcase. You'll see that there's registration forms. You just fill them out, drop them in, and that's another chance because they're going to draw from those boxes, and that puts you in the running for the grand prize as well. So two different ways to win the one grand prize, but I got to tell you, it's maybe a chance to do both of them. Give us a picture and go by and drop those in at the participating sponsors. All right, read it. A couple more texts, but got some stories to get to here. Let's see. Tim said, I heard you talking about the Sears house, and we have one. It's pretty cool. It has held up for years. Nobody told me if I was right or wrong. I think it is, but this is, I'm not an architectural digest. I think that style, and you see the style still exist, is called Craftsman. Am I wrong in thinking that came from, because they were coming from Sears and Roebuck, and yeah, that's their stuff is Craftsman. And I still see that design used. I think I see it more in Baldwin County, in neighborhoods, that Craftsman design. Not saying it's from Sears, but the kind of the look of it. That's cool, Tim. What year do you know what year y'all's house was put up? You said Sears house, Craftsman house. You didn't say Craftsman. It's Sears house held up for years. How many years? Yeah, and Michael, I saw that. It's being reported that Graham's sister is now going to be appointed to finish out his term. And I mean, he would have won, but they're going to do, you know, now they got to do something in South Carolina, right? Because he won the primary easily. Who are they putting to run in the run the general? That'll be something to watch out there. Right, news stories of note here. I've got a couple we may get to of food violence. Food violence stories coming up. But first, I saw this, I don't think this stands a chance, but it lets you know where people's minds are. The Democrat Socialist of America, the DSA, have now launched a platform calling for the abolishing of the Senate. Not just abolishing the Senate, but changing how the federal government's aligned. So they're not happy with what the framers put together. So they want to get rid of the Senate, and they're going to, instead of having the three branches of government, they'd have here's a quote from them, the new democratic constitution, end quote, that would rely on proportional representation in a single unicameral federal legislature. So they want to get rid of the Senate. They want to take the, I think, I mean, there's some of this They want to strip the executive and judicial branches of their independence and making them subordinate to Congress. What could go wrong, huh? Even though I would argue that Congress, why would they be subordinate to Congress? Because Congress has not done its job and pretty much punted things that should have been done in the legislative branch, and they punted it to the executive to do a, you know, do an executive fiat, and then the judicial branch to come back and make a decision on its constitutionality. But yeah, they would want to put the, it's unicameral, so get rid of the Senate. That's probably the headline thing. And then you would have two other branches, executive and judicial, be under the legislative, it, like subordinate, like the legislative could tell them what to do. Can you imagine that? They'd be like, they pass something in Congress that's unconstitutional, but I guess Congress could tell the judicial branch that they better just deal with it. Also on their platform, expanding civil rights, implementing universal rent control, a 32-hour work week, Medicare for all, and canceling student loan debt. And also on immigration, said they would end all deportations and eliminate immigration controls alongside allowing non-citizens to vote in elections. Yeah, this seems like real measured, huh? So no border. Everybody can vote. If not a citizen, doesn't matter. And I mean, I guess if, hey, you're going to swing for the fences here, DSA. Yeah, that's a plan they got going on. Oh, and speaking of which, too, there's another one coming out for, this is like I've said before, and I'm not a populist, right? I know populism is very popular, but with populism, you range from the tether, you range from our republic, the what has been put in order that's great, right? There's a plan out to do it, you know, tax the rich kind of thing here. Okay, so everybody, yay, you tax the rich. And then give the money to the people. It's a Robin Hood plan, right? But this is not like, well, we're going to change tax code, we're going to do this, that, or the other. It is absolutely take the money and give all, what is it? Let me find the story. All Americans will get like $12,000. Yeah, I think it was something like that. So they would, yeah, let's see. Yeah, they would, here's a headline, $12,000 direct payments would go to the American families under a new proposal. This from Lita Gore over at AL.com said millions of direct payments would go to American families under a new proposal. Footing the bill, the country's richest people. Senator Bernie Sanders, Representative Ro Khanna, so independent and a Democrat, but independent that caucuses with the Democrats and a Democrat, introduced the, what is the acronym on this one? Make Billionaires Pay Their Fair Share Act. MB, I don't know if there's an acronym here, but the Make Billionaires Pay Their Fair Share Act, it says, Lita writes, while the legislation faces the almost impossible task of navigating the GOP-controlled Senate and House, I would argue Democrats that aren't Democrat socialists would have a tough time with this one as well. It says it is the latest measure to address the growing inequities in America. Said the legislation would establish a 5% annual wealth tax on the country's 938 billionaires, a group collectively worth $8.2 trillion. In its first year, the lawmakers said it would provide a $3,000 direct payment to every man, woman, and child in a household making $150,000 or less, $12,000 for a family of four. The estimated $4.4 trillion in revenue raised over the next decade would be used to address, quote, the most pressing crisis facing working families, according to Bernie Sanders. Now, you wonder about this. How long would it take? This is why Trump has pushed these dividend checks and all this. I go, this is dumb. That sounds like Democrats. Why don't we use the money if we have it to, I got an idea. Let's pay off the debt. How about we pay off the debt? I mean, the interest payment on the debt alone, the interest payment, get nothing for interest, is the amount of the Pentagon's budget. This is interest. This is debt service. But no, so this plan coming from the left would take the billionaires' money. So how long do you think it would take? Like, it's like the Trump checks or all these. How long does that take that money to just be not even a lifestyle, not even a changer, right? It just goes in the mix. How long does it actually take to trickle, you know, back to the billionaires? Probably not long. But this is, I mean, this is redistribution, right? If you will this, I mean, I'm sure there would be exceptions, absolute exceptions out there, but that 12,000, you say, okay, well, it spurred the economy, Sean, artificially. It also would, I'd say, become part, it'd be a new beachhead, and it wouldn't be, it would become part of every day so quickly, right? The 12,000, that we would be at the next crisis. You give 12,000 for families, says $3,000 per every man, woman, and child in a household making 150,000 or less. Okay. You know that if you put that money out there, it goes to all these families, the products these people are buying will now rise to an inflated price that now will be at the same stalemate, right? It's going to be that family of four gets another $12,000, and then the prices are going to go up. That's, you know, these are just plans. Like, you know, the restructuring of the federal government by the DSA, this make billionaires pay. Do I sit and worry that they're going to get passed? No. But just letting you know where the mindset is. All right. Catch up on some text here. Okay, good. Tim says, yeah, it is a Craftsman house. It was there before I was born. That's awesome. So, and it's still standing, still doing good. Bucky Beaver said, I know what we can do with the Democrat socialists. Send them to Iran. Let them go to Iran. Let's see. Texture here. Sean, I don't think the Craftsman style has any origins in the Sears houses. It was an architectural style based in the arts and crafts movement of the early 1800s, early 1900s. That's from Gulf Coast Girl. Thank you. Here we go. So that was a spurious correlation I made, the Sears and the Craftsman thing. They're cool looking. All right, coming right back. Food violence might be part of what we talk about when we return.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along. Let's see, some text here to catch up with. And the Craftsman style thing. That was interesting. Thank you, Gulf Coast Girl. Because I was thinking, that's a spurious correlation, right? You think, you go, okay, Sears, they came out of Sears and they're Craftsman. But it's not. That makes sense. I have heard about the movement as well. Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. Jerry. Downtown Fort Morgan said the right to legally harvest commies should be a fundamental right. Ricardo Montalban, with that rich Corinthian leather, said a lot of those, that's the name on the text line, a lot of those Sears and Roebuck house magazines came out around 1915. A lot of houses in Midtown are Sears and Roebuck, government at Dolphin Street and Old Shell Road. Okay, so that's where I've seen them. Yeah, I've seen them in Mobile, seen them in Baldwin County. But aren't they still, like, they're making new version, because in certain, like with the columns and the way the windows are and all that, doesn't that make it Craftsman look? So aren't they doing, like, can you call new houses being built, you know, they're using the Craftsman look, but they're new houses, I think. I think I'm right. On the list of what the DSA wants here, old guy texted in, they forgot world peace. Summerdale Tony said, are you sure you're not reading that out of Mad Magazine or something, because it's just unbelievable? Yeah, well, that's what they want. Don't see it happening, but that's what they want. Texture says, Medicare for all? Heck yeah, I'm 60. I'll retire next week. Yeah, if you could just go ahead and not have to have that health insurance thing, right? All right, I meant, and we can come back to text, but these two stood out to me. So I was looking at just stories, you know, getting ready for the show. And I saw two of these over at Fox 10. at WALA's website. Now, they're not local, but, you know, they'll put up anything that's got a headline that's going to get people excited. It's not all local stories. So, but I saw these two on their site the same day. I was like, okay, there are, I tell you, I read the lesser of the two stories first. Both about food. Number one, headline. Woman in McDonald's drive-thru allegedly slaps man for taking too long to get his food. This is out of New York, New York State. Said a woman is accused of slapping a man in front of her at the McDonald's drive-thru for taking too long to get his food. Governor Police, I guess that's the city of New York, Governor Police charged 39-year-old Constance Cota with second-degree harassment. Police say Cota was a passenger in a vehicle waiting in line at McDonald's drive-thru at 12:43 a.m. on June 20th. She allegedly got out of her car, walked up to the car in front of her, and slapped the driver in the face. Police say Cota was upset that the driver, because he wasn't hurrying up getting his food, end quote. So there's the woman who gets out of her car to slap the person in the face that wasn't doing it fast enough. So there's violence. And then this one out of Phoenix, a 22-year-old will spend two decades behind bars for randomly killing a man at a buffet in Arizona. It's just, you see this dirtbag's picture too. It's like, you're talking about dead eyes. Robert Antonio Trejo, 22, was sentenced last month to 20 years in prison for the murder of 66-year-old Frank Vitale. Probably Vitale, I would say. I mean, Dick calls it Vitale. Dick, let's call him Frank Vitale. In Avondale nearly 2 years ago, according to Maricopa County Police, it happened about 12:30 on Monday, October 14th of 2024 at the number one buffet. All right, so this is like super giant number one mega buffet. Okay, number one buffet, one of those places. Prosecutors say Vitale had just finished lunch at the buffet. It was in the front seat of his car when Trejo approached. Without warning, Trejo then shot Vitale through the car window and ran away. And, I guess he finally got this guy. So two of those stories, danger while dining. What happens to somebody? If somebody walks up and slaps somebody in the McDonald's line, I mean, where the hell are we in this country? You know, I mean, now slapping somebody, well, McDonald's can take a long time. You know what? Maybe that is okay. Because I was thinking, okay, if it happened at Chick-fil-A, you'd say that's uncalled for. It works so quickly. You get through there so quickly. Some McDonald's, I'd say, would be unconscionable. Some maybe. For sure, Popeyes, I could see some slapping. Because you want the chicken from Popeyes. But it often moves like molasses through there. So maybe in that case, it'd be okay. But I don't know how long they had been waiting. I'm not sure. Oh, and I got a text earlier about this. And of course, the world is talking about this today. This is not new. Well, this story's new, but it's not new. You know, once a year or so, somebody at Yellowstone decides, you know, to get close to a bison. The argument I've seen, and Dalton, I don't know if you saw that one. They're saying now 8 feet in the air for this guy. That's 20 feet. You and I talked about it. The guy is thrown 20 feet. And I was kind of impressed with suspenders there. The guy evading the bison. They're yelling, running around the trees and all that. I don't know if I'd have climbed up. Remember my father, this happened one time. I was young. We were in Yellowstone. And he got out to take pictures. And I remember mother hollering at him to get back in. We had an RV we rented. Get back in the RV. Yeah, people, like, I don't know what they think a bison is. I really don't. There's so many things that people are frightened of that may not be the right thing to be frightened of. But a bison, now, yeah, I think the problem is you could go by, you know, you've been out there, you can go by this band of or herd of bison or these few here or there, and nothing happens, right? And then nothing happens. But at some point, something will happen. Right. It may not be you, may not be on that day, but you got the tourist today said he was walking with his grandson when the bison attacked. The video shows the man running around a copse of trees trying to escape the bull, which was giving itself a dust bath moments earlier. And where it was going down is like in a campground. I mean, if you've seen the video, I mean, there's a picnic table and there's a bear box there and all that. It was one of the campgrounds. Said the bison then suddenly charged two tourists, then viciously headbutted the older bearded man, catapulting him into the air. The photographer said, who took the pictures? That's also, I mean, nobody helping. Everybody just gets their phone out. Said Montana-based photographer Mike McLeod, said, I was just trying to get some dramatic footage of the bison having a fit. It's changed my idea of what to expect from these guys at this time of year. Do they have a bison alert? Do they have a Tatanka alert on their phones out there? Should it be? But yeah, I know they passed the shark alert federally, so should we have one of those? All right, Paul Feinbaum show on the way next. We'll see you again tomorrow. It's Ask the Sheriff. Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest, tomorrow at noon. We'll